Hi, I'm Carl Brooks from SearchCloudComputing.com, and welcome back to part three of our Cloud Roundtable with Novell, Forrester Research, ACS, and Paragon Development Systems. Thanks for listening, and be sure to listen to the last part of our Cloud Roundtable. All right, let's tackle another topic. The favorite old saw, or an old saw at this point, I should say, private cloud, it's just virtualization. Nothing new under the sun, as it were. Let's start with Ben Grubin from Novell.
Thanks, Carl. We have a pretty pointed perspective on this at Novell, and it is based exactly off of sort of the definition you read before, whether it's from NIST or from Gartner, from Forrester. There's a lot of agreement that cloud is more than a shared pool of resource. A shared pool of resources is fundamentally what virtualization brings you. And in fact, some of these issues and why private cloud is becoming such a big deal today, in our opinion, is because people saw cloud in virtualization. But the reality is it's not quite enough. So they wanted to see that elasticity. They wanted to see that service level management. They wanted to see that sort of instantaneous and automated provisioning and deprovisioning. And they wanted to see the business being able to interact with IT directly as opposed to indirectly. And unfortunately, virtualization is a start on that path. It's not all the way there. Right, there's the other parts. There's that pay-per-use metering. There's that accessible to the business. There's that concept of a service catalog. There's that concept of service level management and monitoring, all that come together to make cloud something that actually allows you to run your IT better and work more closely and more efficiently with the business users that you're servicing, that virtualization alone doesn't do. So virtualization is the backbone of how we offer these services and how we build clouds, but it is not in itself a cloud.
Rich Fischera, why can't I simply go and pile on Tivoli or BMC or Spectrum and onto my virtualization and eventually come out with something that looks like private cloud? Why not? What makes this different from very, very special automation?
This may be one of these cases where where I'm wrong about all the experts, because I think we're all going to agree that cloud is not just virtualization. What makes it different is the different concept of provisioning. It's more than just automation. It's built on virtualization. It's built on automation. It has, as you just heard, it's got inherent knowledge of things like service levels, things like roles and privileges. And basically, it is intended to hide a lot of the details of this process from the users. They want to consume it. It's an overworked term, but they want to consume it as a service. Some of the tools that have been put on the market in the past have attempted to do that, but the whole notion of interacting with this fluid, amorphous pile of resources is a relatively new way of redefining the problem. And to a large extent, The legacy tools out there were designed to try and automate, streamline, and industrialize, if you will, an environment of legacy applications. Most of the new applications that are going out on the cloud and can take advantage of it are not the same applications that are running on big dedicated Unix systems in the central data center. They tend not to be huge databases and heavily transactional. They tend to be much more parallel and separable tasks, or distributed front ends that funnel back into transactional environments. So the answer is it's a different style of interaction, and it's a whole different kind of tool set than these traditional automation offerings. I hope that's the question you asked, by the way. I'm not sure. I think I got it there.
It is, and it sounds like you're talking about things that were essentially designed to be run separately as opposed to things that were originally designed to be big from the beginning. Are now moving into this virtualized and automated and standardized kind of model.
Yeah, I think that's a fair restatement.
Thanks. Austin Park, virtualization, a favorite subject. As an integrator, where do you draw the line between coming in with Eucalyptus or Novell or pick your poison and integrating with something like Tivoli or BMC?
A lot of that depends on the skill sets the customer has, but right now, from our perspective, we certainly have our preferences, and we're certainly not completely technology agnostic. But before I answer that real quick, I I'm probably going to prove Rich right by saying that I also absolutely agree that the virtualization, although an important technology enabler, it is certainly not, you know, analogous to private clouds. You know, I guess from our perspective, we try to create a heterogeneous approach to building private clouds. So we try not to force a customer down saying that, hey, you've got to adapt, for instance, HP's Matrix, which includes its Cloud Start and, you know, its systems management tools and boom, or say that you have to use vCloud Director. What we try to do is consult them on the different technologies that they're going to have to incorporate in order to build out a private cloud. Things for provisioning, the things that they need for creating metering of their resources, what they need to manage all their resources in a pool, and we try to provide options and guide them on reference architectures where we know that different components coming together work well together. Obviously, if there were completely agnostic tools out there that allowed us to work with, for instance, any hypervisor, or that allow us to work with any set of hardware and so forth, that would be a preference for us. But today, our main integration focus is to make sure that the different tool sets at the different layers of that private cloud work well together. And, you know, keeping in mind, when we ask our customers the question of why are you even interested in a private cloud, you know, and so forth, most people respond, which not surprisingly, that, you know, they're attracted by a lot of the appeal of what cloud computing provides, but they have a security concern. But the second most popular response that we hear from people is that there is a demand for transparency in IT and its operations and its cost structure from their users. And the building out of the private cloud is inherently a way to actually deliver some of that transparency. So it's much more than just virtualization or a provisioning engine. It's re-architecting the way IT is actually driven. And hopefully with that transparency and that access to the cost information, it'll allow business users to make better decisions on the use of those resources.
Many paths, one destination, and a bill you can understand. Is that
mm-hmm.
fair?
Absolutely.
William Grubin, your job is to essentially, the job of cloud, I should say, is essentially to obscure infrastructure not only from the user but also from IT to a certain extent, right?
I have that conversation with clients all the time. They want to know what's behind the curtain. And I am continuously telling them that it doesn't matter what's behind the curtain. They need to focus on the service and the service level agreement. And so it's almost an education with clients and how to interact with cloud and cloud environments. Now, that said, as somebody who creates, we have a cloud consulting practice at ACS, and very much agnostic, and they'll go in and consult based on the requirements of the client and their needs, and, you know, they'll look at different storage options and hypervisors and so on and so forth. But when you create a cloud, where you're going to drive your efficiencies is with standardization, and something that everyone needs to understand. But those who are actually consuming the services, it is service and SLA-based.